Golden Age Hollywood actor Kirk Douglas died last week at age 103. Douglas was born Isir Danielovich on December 9, 1916 in Amsterdam, in New York's Mohawk Valley. Even as he rose to fame in California, Douglas kept close with family members who remained in the area. Longtime Capital Region broadcaster, historian, and author Bob Cudmore also grew up in Amsterdam, and as a journalist, covered the Kirk Douglas Day celebration in 1985.
Kirk Douglas and Amsterdam have had an interesting relationship over the years. I mean, in a large extent, he's a great symbol to all of us of somebody who came from a small town, from really abject poverty, and was able to do something great, you know, but he had to do that. He had to go somewhere else. So he left Amsterdam and went to Hollywood. I mean, it's a longer story than that, but he started starring in movies starting in 1949. That was his first big hit, the movie Champion. And so he was pretty famous right from that get-go. And he would come back to Amsterdam somewhat, but he came back almost secretly. He had several friends. He didn't, like, make a big deal about coming back home. And he had, you know, kind of his own family issues, which are sort of part of his story. You know, he had a mother and a father. His father was the ragman in Amsterdam. In fact, Kirk's autobiography is called The Ragman's Son. It was a family of nine, and that's how they were being supported by the ragman. And he was, and Harry Dembski, his father, was probably, at one point anyway, better known in Amsterdam than Kirk, you know, who was, when he was a boy, he was known as Izzy, although his real name was Isir Danielovich. And Harry Dembski, his father, or his real name was Herschel, was a well-known drinker, gambler, brawler. Kirk describes him in the autobiography as the toughest, strongest Jew in Amsterdam. I'd hate to be an armchair psychologist, but others have made this point, that I think Kirk spent a good part of his life trying to get his father's approval. His mom, a woman named Bryna, was more spiritual. Eventually, they divorced, which wasn't as common then. And, you know, Harry, by all accounts, was a difficult man. And Kirk was involved with them over the years, you know, both parents, you know, coming back. I think he actually paid for his father to live in this hotel called Bajie's Fourth Ward Hotel in Amsterdam. And he would visit his mother, who lived with one of his many sisters. Most of the sisters settled in the Capital District. A couple of them are still alive. The one that comes right to mind is Ida Sarr, who I think is also over 100. So there's good genes in the Douglases.
What can you tell me about Amsterdam 103 years ago when Kirk Douglas was born and how it differs from today? Obviously, the region and the Mohawk Valley region is known for its carpet manufacturing and its textile businesses and its furniture businesses. What was Amsterdam like 103 years ago?
It was a booming industrial center, really. The carpet industry was the big deal in Amsterdam, and there were other industries as well. And that's what was going on then. It was, you know, I can't even imagine what it was like. It wasn't like that exactly when I was growing up, although the carpet industry was still there. You know, I'm about in my mid-70s, so I grew up after World War II, but that's when these mills were all moving out, you know, kind of simultaneous with Kirk Douglas's career. And one of the issues that he focuses on in his autobiography, The Ragman's Son, is anti-Semitism, which he said was rampant in Amsterdam. And that caused him to maybe lose some friends in Amsterdam, or, you know, people thought he was being too, I don't know, over the top with that. And there was also another part of his autobiography that caused controversy. And that was, he had a mentor who was a high school teacher, a woman. And he describes, it says who she is in the book, and describes how they had an affair. And and people thought that was unfair of him to say that. So there's, even though Kirk is much beloved in Amsterdam. There was always this back and forth. Of course, you got to realize that in Amsterdam, we all have opinions, and we all are, you know, it tends to be a scrappy place, you know, and I think that's probably true of Schenectady and Utica and other of these mill towns up here. So Kirk was just sort of part of that milieu, and some of the local politicians didn't like him, but others did, and there was always this sense that, well, you know, he left here. Why hasn't he come back? And like, you know, this town's struggling. You know, he could give us this. He could do that. And because he has been a very generous man over the years. But he's done some things, but they've been almost secret. You know, there was a young man who saved Kirk's life when they were both children. Kirk couldn't swim. He fell into this ditch full of water, and the kid pulled him out. So Kirk was always... when he came back to Amsterdam, that'd be one of the people he'd visit. It was his friend Wolfie, he was called. And he'd help Wolfie out financially from time to time. And there was another friend named Pete Riccio who convinced Kirk to go to college. Kirk wasn't going to go to college, or that seemed to be his fate. When he got done with his brilliant, really, high school career, he started working selling men's ready-to-wear at Lurie's department store. But his friend Pete Riccio said, you know, come with me, we'll go to... And they went to St. Lawrence University, and he had other help as well. That teacher of his and other people supported Kirk, and he was able to finish college up there, and then eventually proceed into acting.
You mentioned how Amsterdam was maybe kind of a scrappy place back then. As Kirk's movie career took off, and you had later blockbusters like Spartacus and these big world-renowned movies, and with a younger generation coming up, did opinion of Kirk Douglas change?
Well, I would say it changed more with the publication of his autobiography, which came after the big public display of affection for Kirk. The biography came out, I want to say, it came out after 1985. And 1985 is when Kirk's friends in Amsterdam arranged Kirk Douglas Day. Kirk came back. In fact, he flew into Schenectady Airport, and, you know, I covered that whole day. I remember watching the plane land, and he went to Amsterdam, went down on Eagle Street. They had a lunch. They had a big parade. The original Governor Cuomo came. It was Mario Cuomo was in office. They gave him the key to the city. People were just full of appreciation for Kirk. But then, after the Kirk Douglas Day died down, whatever year it was that his book came out, that's when it sort of got a little dicey with people not appreciating him because of his charge of anti-Semitism and his talking about the affair he had. And maybe people thought that he was just too full of himself or something like that. And he is just, you know, he's not, and I don't want to go too far. I mean, I'm a great fan of Kirk's, but I don't really know him well. I've interviewed him once, you know, I saw him on Kirk Douglas Day and so on. But he's argumentative, and that's been part of his character on screen and off screen. For example, his founding his own production company because he wanted to make his own movies. He named him after his mother. Brian named the company Bryna, and that was his mother's name. I know that in that great episode or that important episode in movie history where he broke the Hollywood blacklist by publicly acknowledging that one of the blacklisted writers named Dalton Trumbo was the scriptwriter for Spartacus. Even that got to be controversial because there was this battle sort of with Otto Preminger, because Otto Preminger did the same thing, and some said that it was really Preminger who did it, but Douglas said, well, I did it, you know, and so on. Later on, Trumbo or Trumbo's family agreed that, yes, they were very appreciative of what Kirk did for Dalton Trumbo.
So you were there, as you said, for Kirk Douglas Day, and can you tell me about what Kirk actually did there. He gave speeches and he spoke to crowds of adoring fans. What was it like?
Well, one of his speeches had to do with his home street, Eagle Street, which again is where my grandfather and his family lived. And it was very ethnically diverse. And that's what he, Kirk said. He said, you know, he said, on this street, you've got the Dembskis, you've got the Cudmores, you've got the Allens, you've got the Rimkunises, you've got the Naples. You know, they were all different ethnic groups that lived there. And, you know, they got along. It's a wonderful thing. And then he quoted his mother as, my mother used to sit on this porch and say, ah, America, it's such a wonderful place. You have a chance. You have a chance. And that's sort of the soundbite I always liked from Kirk in his speech in Kirk Douglas Day 1985.